chairman of the choir, it's been working so very hard under the leadership of such an expert musician. Those of us who were here earlier in the evening to be honored with a beautiful pageant by our children and youth, and the excellent leadership that our religious educator brings. You know, if you've been around, the soul that our intern brings to this place. And I'd ask you to just look in your order of service for the names of all the people who are being honored and memorialized in the flowers that are around us. And to just take a moment and be grateful, to take a moment and be attentive that what is remembered might live for us. One of the ways that I tell the story of Christmas is through this Advent wreath. And this is actually the Advent wreath from my house. A wreath that sits on the dinner table when there is tons of stuff about the dinner table. It's a major event every year. It gets clear for at least a couple of weeks. And of course, one of the ways that we tell the Christmas story is to light the candles. And the first candle, of course, fire, is a great place to start. The first candle in this fire was the star. The star out of which we emerged, because you and I are just a little bit of stardust from some explosion once upon a time. But a great star that inspired those who were to go for it. The one star that they said yes to. That somehow their life meant something because they were willing to go for that star. Stories told in different ways. Hollywood shares with us the story of hope. You know, the Skywalker family and their connection to the Force. You kind of go for it. That's the thing I can put my trust in. That's the place I want to make real for me. The immigrants who live in my home, and for them to follow the star north, to come and be in the United States. This was a thing that they went for. They chose to be here, to build a better life for themselves, a better life for their families. They know that they had their own power from which they could give of themselves, that they and their families might have a future. And those kings of old went for it. Went for that star, went for the fire, and brought with them esoteric gifts, precious gold and pure incense, marking the presence of spirit, and myrrh, the reminder for all of us that death is part of life, that life is full of beginnings and endings. And in the pursuit of something new, fire is an element, and hope is the watchword. The second candle, of course, is still actual fire, but it represents to me earth. The candle reminds me of the many animals in the story. Humans are animals, of course, but we have domesticated companions, animals that graze in valleys and on hillside, animals that stand in barnyard and stable, animals that sing their story in moos and maas and
These animals are our cousins. They have come to trust in us and our care for them. And we trust what they will bring to us by their labor and by our companionship, by the sweet milk that they may give to us, the wool and thread that they may provide. We recognize, too, the ethical challenge of our uses of their bodies and their lives for their pelts and their meat. On Christmas night, in the presence of the miracle of birth, the friendly beasts are given the power of speech. You may remember what they say. "I carried the mother uphill and down," said the donkey. "I gave him my hay to pillow his head," said the cow. "He wore my coat on Christmas morn," said the sheep. "I wooed him to sleep so he would not cry," said the dove. Thus every beast, by some good spell, in the stable dark was glad to tell of the gift he gave Emmanuel. The gift he gave Emmanuel. The animals trust us, and the lesson they teach us is faith. The third candle is a sign of water. It's a special color, rose, to represent the mother. It even has its own name, Gaudete, rejoice. This was the song sung as it was clear that the fetus is now viable. It's time in pregnancy when you want to tell people. And except for that somewhat patriarchal embarrassment of them not yet being married, now might be the time when the couple tells people that when the mother feels a stir in her body, when she invites the father to feel the kicks, right there, right there. The candle is a water symbol because it represents the waters of creation. In the Hebrew telling of the story, when God began to create heaven and earth, the earth was unformed and void, with darkness over the surface of the deep, with the wind from God sweeping over the water. The candle too represents the birth water that each human life passes through. And for Christians, it's the water of baptism into a new birth of the countercultural life of the followers of the Nazarene. For universalists, we know that the force that propels all creativity is the force of universal love. So faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. The last candle of the Advent wreath is the signifier of the great announcement that high in the air, coming from the heavens, were messengers of good news. The shepherds heard songs from the heavens, felt themselves lifted up, shouted out to all their neighbors that something new was coming, to town and to countryside, to high and to low. And that which was coming was the sovereign of peace. You may know about these shepherds. They were among the lowest of the low in their culture, because they wandered in their work and lived with their flocks. They were thought to be dirty and smelly and ruthless. They were thought to be thieves and were not allowed to serve in official capacities, for example, on juries. These lowest of the low were the ones to whom an angelic announcement was made. to be made, where would it be released? Certainly the forces of power could make such an announcement through the advanced media. Every outlet would cover, say, a presidential announcement, or all the countries of the world might come and be united in a great assembly at the United Nations. But instead, this most important message is given to a few outcasts, a few oddballs, a few people who might feel themselves to be powerless. And yet they are the ones who are going to tweet. They are the ones who are going to post it on their Facebook page. They are the ones who are going to make the YouTube video and hope that it goes viral. I am not a king who studied insight and precious gift. I'm not a compassionate animal with miraculous speech. I'm not the mother of God, nor her faithful husband. But in my life, I have been a shepherd. No, not one who kept sheep. But I have been a worker. I have been a person in this culture up to be low. I was born in poverty. And so I can relate to those shepherds. I do relate to those shepherds. And a small voice in my deepest deep has spoken to me to tell me the news that is the highest high. And the highest high is that love abides and is present here among us. And our lives may be changed. Our relationships may be changed. Our ways of being with each other and our way of being in the world may be changed because of that great love which speaks within us, that way we may be peace with one another. On Christmas Eve to the Advent wreath, we add one more candle. For a Christian, that might indeed be the Christ candle, which announces the presence. But for us, the fitting presence is the presence that we find in our chalice. Our chalice, the light of truth. Our chalice, the warmth of community. Our chalice, the fire of commitment. Faith, hope, and love abide, that peace may prevail, and that we may know presence. In the Christian scriptures, these words come from the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and this life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness cannot overcome it.
The followers of Rabbi Jesus took many years to determine what had actually happened during the 2 or 3 years of his active teaching and challenging and healing. But in the generations after Jesus, the community of the Apostle John continued to imagine how it was that they knew God in their encounter with Rabbi Jesus. These are words they used. We declare to you what was from the beginning. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love is revealed among us in this way. God sent his Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and God's love is perfected in us. And so I extend the invitation to you to come with me and to form a circle of love. As the choir sings softly,